Turn our attention again to the ancient words of King Solomon. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. The word of the Lord. What is your claim to fame? Pretty much everybody has at least one. Can you think of a moment in your life where you or something you did was known to more people than any other particular moment? Or are you someone who prefers to pretty much fly beneath the radar and nobody knows your name and you really prefer it that way? If that is the case, you are most definitely the exception in this social media era of humanity we are living every day. A pop artist of the previous century coined a phrase at the time of the late 1950s into the 1960s when television was really coming into its own. You may recall that every single person sooner or later will have their 15 minutes of fame. The competition for that 15 minutes of wide-ranging notoriety has become fierce. And I think among the throngs of people seeking all that attention, you will find many who are rolling the dice that they can make that 15 minutes turn into a much longer period of time and potentially also have very lucrative elements to it as well. We've given that concept a name in our modern culture. There are people who have taken that concept and adopted it and even made it, in some cases, their full-time life's occupation. We call them influencers. And influencers want to be the people that the advertisers and those paying attention to them will give them credence, give them weight, give them prominence in their life to the point where hopefully everybody is making some money off the situation, if not also gaining in fame and stature and influence on the culture around them. It would be very interesting, I believe, if we could have ancient King Solomon's viewpoint, his analysis of what's going on in our world today. What do you think? You think there might be a modern take on what he says in these verses, that this passage of Scripture, written by the wisest man who ever lived, could address everything that's going on with a modern rewrite? Would it be positive or negative in regard to the influencers of this world who boast and seek acclamation among the great? There is an equally long trail of broken lives of the glory hounds of our day as there was when Solomon first pointed to them in these verses. So I, for one, am thankful that the wise believers of history that were making the choices in regard to the lessons that would be brought together under a central theme for the different Sundays at this time of the church year decided to tuck these two little nuggets of gold, this timeless wisdom from the wisest teacher of ancient times, into this moment where Jesus also wants to talk to us about humility and pride. And James, the brother of the Lord, is reminding us how important it is to put the needs of others before our own and recognize that sometimes when we're clamoring to find the famous and the powerful as friends, that we're really neglecting the needs of the people closest to us. After all, if you study the life of Solomon, it won't take you very long to find that he is not some ivory tower philosopher, but rather, or who just commented on the world around him but didn't actually live a life the way you and I do every day. He was really the opposite side of that altogether. He was a man who pursued just about every different discipline and possibility of life that you can imagine. And so his experience was probably the widest and deepest of anyone, as he sought to apply the wisdom that he had asked God to give him as a gift, which God then answered, and see how that played itself out in every possible way. He clearly was a very famous, powerful, and wealthy person as well. And yet, here he has something to say to us. These particular words really echo the words of Jesus in the gospel and the words of James in the epistle. And all three completely agree on the concepts of always letting the Lord determine the moment that the spotlight will be on you. But that can be so excruciatingly painful, almost to the point of impossibility for most of us in this day and age. For some of us, though, it's just the way that we were raised. It didn't matter if it was the family that I grew up in or the neighborhood where all the scrapes and scuffles of childhood, neighborhood sports, competition amongst your generation, the different schools you went to, or whether it was the school that I went to, the parochial school, 2 miles across town, completely separate from the neighborhood I was growing up in. Everywhere I heard the same theme. If you start pursuing your own glory, if you start trying to promote yourself to the world in a way that reaches beyond who you really are, you're just setting yourself up for a moment of pain, some comeuppance, as we used to call it, some humility, just like Solomon is talking about in this lesson, and Jesus pointed to with the example of the wedding or the feast in the gospel lesson. Oh my, how things have changed in the last 50 years. Everywhere I turn in daily life, whether it be profession or leisure, whether it be local or national, it seems every single day, multiple times a day, whether it's online or in person or however you want to measure it, you and I cross paths with somebody pursuing fame, wanting to influence us in the way that we go about our daily lives, as if their opinions, their priority setting is better, more worthy than even what we hear in the Word. And so we see people ignoring the wisdom of Proverbs 25, James 2, and Luke 14. They are all going hard after fame and glory and the groceries that go with them. The older I get, the crazier that all seems to me. The emptier it all seems to me. But that could just be another one of those get off my lawn moments that guys of my age start to experience about now. So it is a surprise and a challenge to many in our day and time that Jesus and all of Scripture leave not even a shred of doubt about how God wants us to handle ourselves in regard to fame and fortune. When this subject has come up in moments of instruction with youngsters I have had the privilege to teach over the years, I always try to lean into and guide them to see the value of being faithful, being focused, working hard at developing your talents and your opportunities and the resources around you without reaching for the spotlight, but letting it find you, so that when the Lord does bless you with that moment, no matter what age you might be, you're ready for that moment and you can shine in that moment. There's nothing wrong with that. But then how it also gives you a completely different joy and perspective on those moments, because you know it wasn't something you sought. It was something the Lord determined for you. That is simply faithful stewardship that reflects our faith and our gratitude to our Creator God. But it is truly an entirely different thing to pursue any of that for the purpose of making a name for ourselves. Or even as James puts it in the verses before us in the New Testament lesson, pursuing favoritism and notoriety that communicates to our world that somehow we believe we're better than someone else or deserve some kind of benefit that we haven't really earned? No, it is far better to be faithful in every day, every way, working hard to be the best that we can be, and then let the Lord decide when those efforts will point the world spotlight our way. And when the opportunity presents itself, when the bright lights happen to be shining on you as you're giving your very best effort, then you know you haven't crossed lines into sinful self-promotion, achievement, and the rewards that come with them. The joy of knowing moments when the world knows who you are because your God has chosen for you that moment to shine a light on you for His glory, to shine a light on you as the example that He has drawn you into being because of your faith, your trust, your perspective, that He has blessed you, that He has made you who you are, that all of that is a gift from Him, that all of that is an opportunity for you to show your trust and your faith to a world that desperately needs to see that example, that then potentially augments into a reality where you actually get to share the word, where the real power lies. The word that is also at times needing to be spoken that might be law, judging things as God sees it. But more often, and hopefully, the opportunities to demonstrate forgiveness, to demonstrate humility, to demonstrate the grace and mercy we are called to as well in these verses. But there we also get to the heart of the issue of all three lessons that are in front of us this morning. Our prideful pursuits of self-interest, even the simple showing of favoritism or the desire to receive an act of favoritism, every one of them eventually will prove harmful to the souls of those around us, to our own souls, and corrosive to our relationship with our Savior God. We know, don't we, deep in our hearts, how very fine that line is between serving God first and then others before ourselves, and serving for the purpose of our own acknowledgement, our own aggrandizement, our own material benefit. How many relationships that you've experienced in your life, no matter how old you are, have gone sideways in painful ways because either you or the other person has decided that you aren't getting treated the way you deserve, that you aren't being acknowledged for what you're contributing, that you aren't being given your due for your talents, your abilities, your experience, whatever the issue may be? How doesn't that become a sticking point in so many situations, in family, workplace, neighborhood, congregation? How corrosive then it also becomes to the mission that God has given to all of us, that is also clear in these verses. If our interest is not in our own glory, if our interest is not in our fame, but rather the far greater good that Solomon, Jesus, and James would all have us pursuing by serving God first and serving other before self and not being concerned about what we get out of it, no matter how we might measure it, blessed things will happen regularly for everyone involved, with God deciding who will get the spotlight and the reasons why for what He has planned to be the eternal good of everyone involved. And that, when we see it that way and understand it that way, will provide new opportunities for you and me to joyfully praise Him for His goodness. Because when we humbly see ourselves objectively in the mirror of God's Word, we realize we don't deserve any of it. God would much rather have us experiencing that joy than another moment of confession of our sins. Those moments are so hard for us. We skate through them at the beginning of a worship service with some ease because they're so familiar and they're not personal and they're not specific. But I'd like to ask you a simple question because of the verses that are in front of us this morning. As we read in worship each of the lessons assigned to the day earlier, did any of the sin being addressed in these verses pop right out at you and become the main focus of what you were hearing from the Word? Or in those verses themselves, were you already focused on other people around you that you felt needed to hear those words more than you? Did you quickly downgrade the category of today's lessons from confrontation of our sinful nature to simply expressions of good advice, priority choices that we might choose to follow? It's easy to not take God in His Word as seriously as we would have us think about these things He speaks to us. There are so many things, so many topics that God could raise with us regarding our living and our thinking. And so many of them are raised in the Scriptures. Is it not fascinating how very many times in His Word He consistently points us at this reality regarding our self-absorption on a daily basis? How often it's about self first and anything else when we get time for it versus focusing first on God, making neighbor more important than ourselves. This topic is very likely not at the top of most believers' concerns, and yet we clearly have a sovereign God, a Creator, who brings this subject up far more often in His Word than just the three lessons that have been chosen to place in front of us today. God knows just how big a challenge this is in our daily lives. In fact, when we look at the earthly life of our brother Jesus, God in human flesh, it is easy to see how many different places the devil decided that this was exactly the angle to come at Jesus with temptation during His own life here on earth. How many different times and how many different ways doesn't Satan try to get Jesus to think, I'm taking the easy path. I'm God. I can do whatever I want. But he never gives in. Fierce temptations on this particular point. Satan thought he could trip Jesus up easily with offers of glory and fame and wealth on more than one occasion. But you and I watch Jesus push away every single one of those temptations and choose just the opposite. Daily, over and over again, he empties himself completely. All the wealth, all the knowledge, all the power of heaven set aside completely so that in the end, facing and fighting off every single temptation, even the ones to fame and power that were rightly his anyway, but he had to set them aside. He empties himself completely and allows himself to be hung on a cross despite his innocence, his righteousness. And ultimately, after the excruciating pain of experiencing hell that he did not deserve, his lifeless body is placed in a borrowed grave. And if you were to look at the history that is recorded regarding the first 200 to 300 years after Jesus rose from the grave and resumed all the glory that was his as God, you will find how many voices pointed to the fact that that humiliating crucifixion was the ultimate experience to prove that this is not a man to be listened to, not a philosophy to be followed, something that only offers loss instead of gain for the people who think the way our culture thinks regarding fame and fortune. And they're not wrong. All that was an expression, the ultimate expression of God Himself deciding the moments the spotlight will be on those He chooses. In his context, Christ trusted his Father that every single thing that his Father had promised him would come about, and that in the end, every single thing that played out in his pushing away temptation, his emptying himself, would prove to be what was necessary for the payment of our sins and the gift of righteousness we needed to stand before God, holy and right and welcome in his sight. He took on the form of a servant and even allowed death itself to be his reality, rather than to claim in any moment the immortality that was his all along. And why? So that you and I would have an infinitely flowing fountain of righteousness and forgiveness to cover every one of our sinful and silly moments of pursuit of vainglory and earthly blessing that come with it. So that you and I would have the opportunity to hear lessons like these today and realize God's gift of both the motivation and the ability to pursue the good works that He has told us He has already planned in advance for us to do. And to do them to His glory, as a reflection of our faith, our trust, our desire to obey our Savior God. That's right, letting the Lord choose the moments when the spotlight is on any one of us in any given day is a barometer of the health of our relationship with our God. And it's not the little thing the world would have you believe that it is. Living first for God and placing neighbor above self is actually a big thing that reveals how well the battle with temptation is going in any of our lives. But it is also a big thing when you and I daily, in the world that walks continuously away from God, see someone living for God's glory, for the benefit of the soul next to them, putting a priority on God. That changes the world for lost souls, the lost souls around us, when they see the power of faith in action. Whenever the contrast of how believers and unbelievers is set in bold relief by these particular issues, such moments of revelation, God's word has opportunity to be shared and God's goodness revealed with clarity and power. That's why it's always a good thing. No matter what our brains or our hearts might be telling us, to always let God be the one that decides the moment that the spotlight is going to be on you or me. It's evidence to the world in which we're living every single day of our trust of our God to get it right, our trust of our Savior God in all things. And He promises you, even in these verses, right there next to the precise finger pointing of the law, that the result of listening, following, trusting will bring you a glorious joy long after any possible fame of this life, long after any possible fame of this life has faded from the memory of every single person you've tried to impress today. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.